We are starting a new series this morning and for the rest of the month. And I've called that series Looking for Jesus. And it's going to be looking at the popular Christmas story that we might all be familiar with. If you're not familiar, just go to Cabot Circus now. All the lights are there in London. I mean, you can't miss that it's Christmas. So we're looking at the life of Jesus, around his birth and some other bits and pieces. But I want to look at it from a slightly interesting, well, everything is interesting in terms of the birth of Christ. But I want to look at it from another perspective over the next four weeks when we'll be looking at this. So a lot of people in the days of Jesus, before he was born, they were oblivious to the fact that Jesus was going to be born. Everybody was going around, you know, about their business. It was business as usual in those days, over 2,000 years ago. And the birth of Jesus had been spoken about thousands of years before that time, hundreds of years before that time. You would have imagined that the arrival of Jesus would have been something that everybody was aware of. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 spoke about the coming of Jesus. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. It says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. We will call him Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, it says, for a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So the birth of Jesus had been spoken about. Everybody should have been aware, because they had been waiting for the Messiah for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But the interesting thing is this. When Jesus was actually born, nobody knew he had been born. Just a handful of people. Just a handful of people. So they missed the whole point. They missed the whole point. Jesus was born and nobody knew. Just a few people. Now, as Jesus was born, a number of people began to know about his birth. Some people began to encounter Jesus. Some people began to hear about Jesus. And what we want to be doing, what we want to look at in the next few weeks is the reaction of these groups of people when they encountered the news about the birth of Christ. So we're looking at four perspectives over the series and maybe more depending on how we want to take it. We want to look at the perspective of the wise men when they were looking for Jesus. What was their perspective? The wise men, you know, if you go to the shops now, you can see like all the images, even on the cards, you see like wise men and a baby in a corn. Yeah, those guys. These are the ones I'm talking about. The wise men, what was their perspective? We'll also look at the king at that time, King Herod, the second perspective. What was Herod's perspective about Christ, about the birth of Christ? The third perspective we want to look at is the perspective of the priests. Those were people who had the writings the writings that Jesus would be born. They were the pastors, they were the Christians, in quote. They were the people who were, they were the religious people who should have known. What was their reaction? Then we'll look at the fourth category of people. The shepherds that were going about their business. And an angel appeared, or angels appeared to them. What was their reaction to the birth of Christ? So we want to look at those four perspectives. And I believe that those four perspectives often represent us. Represent the current world that we're in. Maybe represents you. Represents your friend, your cousin, your mom, your dad. We often fall into these four categories, although, you know, that's not like a hard and fast rule. So we look at those perspectives as we go along. So the first perspective we want to look at today is the perspective of the king, King Herod. I'll leave the other perspectives till later. So let me just give us a quick story. Herod, Rome had occupied then Israel, the Roman Empire. They had conquered a lot of land, just, you know, colonized everybody. And what Rome did was, when they captured a particular place, they would put someone, a native of that land, to govern them, and they would rule indirectly through that person. So they had all sorts of people. They had prefects. They had a garrison of. They had prefects, which were soldiers. They had all. You know, they had like a really interesting governmental structure. But the other thing that they did was that they allowed the king to rule. But that king was subject to them. He had to do their bidding, more or less. So at that time, there was a lot of jostle for political power. You had the religious people, you had the Pharisees, you had the temple people who felt really uncomfortable about the fact that how can we be, you know, ruled by this foreign Roman people, taking taxes from us, all these things. So there was a lot of tension at that point in time. And there was a king, and that king had his authority from Rome. So it was a very unstable political time. Everybody was guarding their interests. It was like, man, I'm king. Nobody tries anything or you're dead. So it was a really unstable time. And the king at that time was a man called Herod. Herod. So we'll read the text, and I'll just highlight a number of things about the king, Herod. I'll read Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. Then I'll jump to verse 16. It's a slightly long read. Looking for Jesus. That is the topic we're talking about. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 8 and 16. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When the king Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. That's a quote. Messiah. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report him to me so that I too may go and worship him. So Herod is in his palace. He's got everything under control. You know, he's in total control. Nobody's misbehaving around him. Anyone that tries anything, he puts them out. So he's like, yeah, I've got everything covered. I'm cool. I've got everything under control. I've got all my spies around keeping a tab. I've got my secret police ensuring that everybody is in order. Nobody, you know, out of order at all. So Herod was there. I don't know what he was having for lunch that day. I don't know. Maybe some jello fries from the Western region. Maybe it was roast from England. Who knows? Maybe it was spaghetti from Italy, one of the, you know. So he was there, and suddenly these people come to his palace. They don't look like people that are local. They're dressed differently. And they come, and they say, we're looking for a king. We saw the star of a king, and we have come to worship him. And Herod says, hang on, I'm the king here. I am the king. What are you talking about? I said, no, sorry, this king that we're talking about is a baby king. So we're not here to see you, Herod. There's a king that we've come to see. And Herod was like, man, you must be kidding me. I am the man. Who else can be the man? I am. He said, no, Herod, with all due respect, with all due respect, please, we don't think, we saw his sign, you're not the one. How do you think Herod felt? The Bible tells us Herod now brings them in, and Herod now goes to the priests, and he says, hang on, this king that they're talking about, you guys search out where, what this man is talking about. And the priest now read a portion of scripture to him and said, look, the Bible says something here that a king, there will be a child will be born to a virgin. And they explained everything to him. Herod said, man, no king apart from me here. No king apart from me here. And he now goes to the wise men and says, oh, there's a king. You know, you guys, can you, when you find him, please tell me, come and tell me where he lives so that I too can worship him. And he tells them that. And they're like, okay, that's fine. They're like, that's fine, that's fine. And they go their way. I'll skip to verse 16. They find Jesus, but they don't come back to tell Herod because God warns them that don't go back to that Herod king guy. He hasn't got Jesus' interest at heart. Verse 16, we now see something that Herod does. We're looking at King Herod, the perspective of King Herod. See what Herod does in verse 16 of that Matthew chapter 2. It says, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. I mean, what a brutal response. What a brutal response. Do you know, if this king had been, the king that they were talking about was grown up, I don't know, you know, then one might have thought, okay, Herod's feeling a bit threatened. He wants to, you know, get this guy. No. The person that they were talking about, Jesus, was under 2 years old. Herod didn't even say, okay, I'll send my spies to look for this Jesus that they're talking about. Then I'll get him. He said, look, I don't even have time for that. Kill everybody under two. Kill everybody under two. His reaction was a brutal reaction. Can you imagine? You've just had your... Someone was telling me that in this church, I think you need to be careful where you sit. Because if you sit anyhow in this church, you get pregnant. Yeah, so many babies. I was like, in the next how many months, we will have like a flood of children. So can you imagine? That's what they said, that if you sit anyhow, there's some seats that you just get pregnant like that. Can you imagine someone's been waiting to have a child for years? They now have a child, and the child is like 1 year old. And they're like, oh my goodness. They've had the baby shower. They've had all the things. They're like, oh, what a wonderful baby. They've, you know, everybody's celebrating. Some people have twins. Ah, they're like, oh, these twins are keeping me up at night. And it's like, okay, at least they're one and a half years old now. Some people are looking and say, well, someone cracked a joke about me, and I'm not going to tell you what that joke is. But I will tell you that joke much, much later. So everybody's, you know, celebrating. Oh, you know, one mother goes to M&S or Mother Care and says, oh, I'm going to buy this matching dress for my child and all that. I remember when our kids were born, my son, then I'd go to the shops. I'd be like, oh, yeah, what am I buying? I'm buying a white shirt and a jumper. I'll replicate it for him. So that I'd be like, yeah, yeah. So, are you laughing? Yes, I remember. So there was a time. So as he grew up, I'll do the shopping for him, like matching tie, boy. I get a green tie. You get a green tie, even if it's a massive one. Then as he grew up, I think when he became a teenager, at some point he just said, "Dad, I ain't wearing that tie." So when am I saying everybody was excited? Then the soldiers arrive at their door. Their one-year-olds, six-month-old boys, killed. 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 So, this Herod that we're talking about, that was his response to the birth of Christ. He was looking for Jesus, but he was looking for Jesus for a completely different reason that the wise men, the shepherds, and the priests were looking for him for. So you might say, okay, so what does this have to do with me as an individual? I'm not going to kill anybody. I'm not Herod. You know, so, I mean, yeah, Pastor, tell us the next story. Well, Herod's reaction somewhat has something to do with us or with a few people. And even if it doesn't have anything to do with us in this particular context, sometimes it has to do with a certain part of our lives. And I'll explain. I'm going to look at three things about this man this morning. Herod's reaction to Jesus. One of the four reactions. So the first thing is this. I'll look at 3 points. When Herod heard about the birth of Jesus, when people told him about Jesus, Matthew chapter 2, verse 3. The first thing was this. I'm reading, looking at the NIV version. The Bible says, When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. He was disturbed. I like that word, disturbed. We'll look at three things about this man. Why was he disturbed? He was disturbed because Jesus, there was the possibility that Jesus was going to disrupt everything that he had worked for. Jesus was going to disrupt his lifestyle. Jesus was going to disrupt his regular holiday to Dubai. Jesus was going to disrupt his everything. He was like, man, I'm not having any of that. The same thing with us sometimes. We hear some things about Jesus. We learn as believers now about certain things that God expects of us in our relationship with him. And we're disturbed. Maybe not in the same way as Herod was disturbed. We're disturbed. He's like, man, Pastor B, you're asking me to turn up for a prayer meeting. I'm disturbed. Do you know I watch Neighbors on Mondays? I'm just saying. Do you know I watch Neighbors on Monday? Oh, Pastor B. I don't know if they still show Neighbors. If you're looking at me, you don't know Neighbors. That means I know how old you are. Do they still show Neighbors, though? Yeah, if you don't know Neighbors, don't worry. It's an old program, you know. Yeah, some people, you know, yeah, nodding. I watch Neighbors 7 to 8. Oh, that's going to interfere. I'm on episode 83. I've never missed one episode. Or give me a new one if Neighbors is gone. Give me one, anyone, any series that's popular now. Oh my goodness, you guys don't want to open. EastEnders, yeah. I remember EastEnders from 26 years ago. Anyway, you guys know the characters in East. Do you know who was there 26 years ago? EastEnders. I watch EastEnders. There's no way that's going to disrupt my thing. Herod was disturbed. So for us, sometimes we're disturbed when we look at the Christian faith, we look at the things that God wants us to do. Oh man, turn up for that prayer meeting, serve in church. I don't have time for that for now. I'm busy. Or, man, I can't turn up. So there are times that we're disturbed as well. Because we don't want Jesus to alter the things are convenient sometimes. We don't want him to, it's like, oh man, I'm saying all this rhetorically, I'm not saying you know what I mean? I'm just saying, rhetorically, I'm not saying you, like you sitting here, I'm just saying you, like generally, you know what I mean? Oh man, that's disturbing. You know, I've been disturbed as well. I remember when I was just thinking about this 10 years ago, we lived in West London, obviously. I've told the story over and over again. We lived in West London. And at that point, I was on the train. Oh man, going West London, going to work in the morning. Life was cool, man. I had worked hard. I had a job in the city. I had my, it was like, man, everything was cool. Our kids had like, you know, they had just gotten into this nice school that you didn't have to pay, but they worked really hard. I mean, everything was cool. So Jesus now said, okay, Pastor B, you gotta leave this place and go somewhere else. And I was disturbed. I got to our church in London that day for the Bible study, and our senior pastor called me into his office. He said, Pastor Benson, follow me to my office. I got there early. I want to talk to you. I was like, God, I hope I haven't done anything. And he said, well, God told him about this, and that. Exact thing that God had told me on the train. And I was disturbed. I was like, man, this is going to like really disrupt my plans. God, you know what, God, I'm cool. I can be at church as I've been doing. I'll, you know, do Sunday school, but any other thing beside that, it will really disrupt my plans. So I was disturbed as well. And I ignored everything that God told me for a number of months. So what are the things that disturb you as well? What are the things that God asks you as an individual to do that you actually want to do? It's like something that comes to your mind, but it's like, man, that's too inconvenient for me. It's going to disrupt my life in a way that is uncomfortable. Maybe we're not disturbed like Herod was, but it's similar. It's similar. So Herod was disturbed when he heard about Jesus. Sometimes we're disturbed as well when Jesus asks us to do certain things. So we're looking at three things about this Herod man. I'm not saying you're Herod, by the way. I'm just saying, you know, like analogy. I don't know anyone going on YouTube, not you guys, or in TikTok. Yeah, I'm coming live today at 10. Then you see all those people, message, face. Hot topic. You log on to Instagram, or is it TikTok? And the person begins with the American accent. Can you imagine our pastor in church, not you guys, was telling us that we're like Herod? What is he saying? Is he saying I'm like a killer? How can he say that? Then there'll be like loads of comments. Don't mind all these pastors. That's how they do. That's how they do. So, Herod was disturbed. So, what are the things that disturb you? What are the things that make you uncomfortable when it comes to fulfilling God's plan for your life? The second thing we see about Herod, we're looking at three things about this. I call it the perspective of the king. He was the king of his life. Nobody was going to mess with the control that he had over his life. No way. He was not going to release his life to Jesus. No way. The same way that sometimes we're king over our lives, We don't want to relinquish anything to Jesus because it's just inconvenient, I think, sometimes. So Herod was disturbed. The second thing we see about Herod this morning is this. Matthew chapter 2, verse 4. It says, when Herod heard about Christ, or these Magi were asking, he, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 4, did something quite interesting. When he called all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. So the second thing we see about this Herod thing is, you know, this Herod man, he was curious. He attended Bible study. He turned up to church on a Sunday. He says, who is this Jesus? I want to find out more about him. So he inquired, he looked at, you know, went online, checked the Bible, watched a few YouTube channels. Do you get what I mean? So he wasn't, he just, you know, he didn't just react. You know, it was like, okay, this Jesus, okay, I hear, okay, you want me to do this thing. Let me understand what the Bible says more about what you're asking me to do, Jesus. And he inquired, he went for Bible study. They told him, you know, Jesus said, when I call you, you have to give me your whole heart. Jesus says, there's no one leg in, one leg out. He says, you have to commit your whole self to him. Jesus says, carry your cross. That means there's certain things that you might want to do, but because Jesus wants you to do something else, you might not be able to do those things. And he inquired about who Jesus was, where would he be born? So he investigated more, like, okay, let me see who this, maybe this Jesus is a, let me just try and understand where he's coming from. So what am I saying? You know, there's the tendency that there are times that you and I, we hear these things about what God wants us to do. God's prompting our heart, or maybe I'm prompting our hearts in a bit. And you're like, okay, let me just, I'll do my bit. Attend Bible study, at least I'm turning up on a Sunday, and all those things. And we're inquiring. You know, we're inquiring about God the best way we know how to. So Herod was inquiring, okay, God says I should have faith, okay. God says this about me, okay, that's fine. Then we come to the last part. Do you know that your investigation of God about Jesus can lead you in a number of directions. It can lead you to different places, different conclusions. Yeah? It can lead you to different conclusions. But Herod's investigation of the Bible, he's coming to church, he's reading and looking at the things about God, led him to a final destination. Ours could lead us to other destinations as well. And the third thing about Herod is this. Matthew 2:16. It says, when Herod realized that they had outwitted him, he was furious. He was furious. That was where Herod ended up. Being furious, angry, annoyed. Now, what does it have to do with us? Do you know that this man went through three stages. The first one was that he was disturbed. He said, okay, I'm disturbed. But let me find out more about what God wants in this context. So the second thing that he was curious, he searched, he went through all the bits and pieces. And He then became furious to the point where he lost it. There are times that we have expectations of God. We're disturbed sometimes. We get over that. We inquire about God. We start doing the things that God wants us to do. You know, we believe God. We say, okay, God has said this about me. And yeah, I'm good with this for now. Then we put our expectations, we put our faith in God, we're expecting certain things, we're expecting life to go in a particular way. And there are times that sometimes life doesn't go the way we expect all the time. Things don't happen the same way, the way we expect them to happen all the time. And there's the possibility that an individual, I think maybe sometimes we all go through this at certain points. There's a possibility that one can become furious. God, I believe this is how my life has turned out. What is all this about? And you and I become furious. Yeah, furious. Now, our response might not be like Herod that said they should kill all the kids on the tree. But our response can be equally as violent. Our response can be, well, I've had it. I'm not going to church anymore. All this thing is just, you know, because we're furious sometimes. We might not be furious in the same magnitude, but we could be furious sometimes in little areas of our lives where it's like, look, that's it. I've had it. Do you get what I mean? So, what am I saying this morning? What I'm saying this morning is this. As you and I go on this journey of finding Jesus and knowing Jesus, as other people go on this journey as well, there are different perspectives that they will have. They could have the perspective of the wise men, which we'll look at some point. They could have the perspective of the priests. They could have the perspective of the shepherd, four perspectives, or they can have the perspective of Herod. What is the perspective of Herod? We have a pinch of it sometimes in our lives. This is where we're faced with Jesus. As we know him, we could be disturbed. We could inquire. We could be furious as well. And Herod was furious because Jesus was going to interfere with his earthly life. And he missed the whole point. There's a scripture that I'm going to read, then after this we'll pray. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. It says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? What good was it for Herod to maintain his whole life, to maintain his grip on power, to outline things the way he wanted to? What use would that be for him in eternity? That's what the scripture is saying. Nothing. Who is Herod? Where is he? All the things he built, where are they? Does anyone remember where he lived? Where is he? Do you guys know, have you met any of his descendants? I haven't. Do you know any of his descendants? Have you seen them on YouTube? Do they have YouTube channels? Where is he? Nowhere to be found. So he puts it in perspective that this man missed the opportunity of a lifetime. He missed the opportunity of a lifetime. Why? He focused on the here and now. We don't want to have the perspective of Herod, even in any pinch. And if we do have that, then we want to just ask that God will help us. You know, there are times that my mind goes to the opportunity, to the, I'll call it Herodian thinking. There are times I'm like, oh my goodness, man, why, you know, what would have happened if I didn't turn up in Bristol? What would have happened if I just kept on my fancy job, fancy this, fancy that in West London? I wouldn't be here. You would not be here. Where would you be? I don't know. Where would I be? I don't know. So I would have put my own personal desires, my fancy money that I wanted to make, that I'd worked hard, my fancy job, fancy this and that, in comparison with you guys here, or in comparison of what God has for us, in comparison of what God has for me as an individual, talking about me now, what will be the comparison? I will turn up on that day to Jesus in my West London house and say, Jesus, I had a fancy job in the city of London. You blessed me. Fantastic. What will Jesus tell me? That's the answer I would never want to experience. What would he tell me? Oh, okay. I'll see Paul there. Paul that was almost beaten to death. Paul showing his stripes, saying, I gave everything up for the gospel. Peter crucified upside down. All those people thrown into the arena in Rome, the Colosseum, killed by lions for the faith. All those people burned alive because they refused to recant. And everybody be saying their own, then it's my turn. Oh, sorry, I needed to keep my life, you know, I needed to keep my life cool. By the way, I lived in West London. I had a nice, is that what I'll say? I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. Is that what I would say? Or would I say, oh, Jesus, it was tough in CFT Bristol. There are times that I wanted to roll over in bed and I got up. There are times that I was like, man, why do I have to be the one that's playing the guitar, although I love it? Why do I have to do all this? Why? Then Jesus would say, yeah, you did a good job. You persevered. Oh, when there was a prayer meeting on Fridays, I'm not trying to make you guys feel guilty, but in a way I am. Oh, prayer meeting on a Friday, and I'm here by myself with Brother Boa, just praying, Labrakamo Semenana Boseke. Look at here, everybody's at home watching Neighbors. Oh, is it EastEnders? Oh, and I'm like, it doesn't matter. Everybody's at McDonald's eating that fried chicken. They're eating rice and plantain at home and drinking Coca-Cola, which they shouldn't be drinking, just water. And I'm here praying. Not that I'm complaining, by the way, I just need to. But what am I saying? It's all worth it. It is all worth it. So what I'm just going to leave us with this morning to say, look, we don't have to have the Herodian, the king's perspective on life, because if we allow the king's perspective, which is I want to have complete control over my life, I don't want Jesus to interfere with it, then I'm not quite sure that's the life that we want to live. And even though we make choices for Christ, we do things for Christ that are a bit inconvenient, it's totally worth it, I tell you. It's totally worth it. So this morning we're just going to rise and we'll pray.